Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
We need a contestant, people. We're going to play the feud, whether you like it or not. It's the ultimate test of wit, of knowledge, of guile, of cunning.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the feud. It's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. K-10 and Ridgeview, that's where you can find Dennis and his great staff. Mention 810, save even more. Hot tubs, spas, pools. How about a gorilla basketball goal? How about a trampoline? Maybe a pool table, poker table, shuffleboard table, theater chair. How about a massage chair? I'm going to get one. I was talking about kind of remodeling the home studio.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now where do we put the massage chair? Because my wife's adamant I can't have it out in the main area. So where are we putting this thing? I'm going to go get one. You can get one right now. K-10 and Ridgeview. Family Leisure online at familyleisure.com. In person at K-10 and Ridgeview. We'll play for a Hen House gift card. If you want to play the feud, 913-3810-810, the phone number. We have a contestant. Stand down. You want to X out the lines so no one else calls? I know how you enjoy it. I don't want to answer the phones.
Crushing people's dreams.
Ha!
I control the lines.
Todd is out today, so we've got Jockey, the intern, who's going to play. Jockey, you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you feel good? You've seen this played before?
Yeah.
You've talked a lot of trash, a lot of smack. You've laughed at Curtis for weeks at how bad he is at the game. So you're prepared.
To be fair, everyone does it.
To put your name on the line that you can be at least better than Curtis?
I am more than prepared.
Okay. We're going to find out. We have a contestant. That contestant has a name. It's Ty. Ty, how are you, sir?
Good. Outstanding. How you doing?
Doing very good. You no doubt have heard the feud before. You know you got a choice to make. Are you going to play with me? Are you going to play with Curtis? Or are you going to play with intern Jockey as your partner?
I will go with you, sir.
All right. There it is. You want to go first or second, Ty?
The two jockeys going.
That's right. That's right.
I'll give you the honors. I'll go second.
Okay. I'm going to go first. Ty is going to go second. What's the order for you two boys?
You want to go first or... Let me go first.
You can go first.
I'll go first.
Okay. Me against Curtis. Are you writing this down, Adam? And then it will be Jockey against Ty. So we are ready to dance.
All right. Here we go. Give me Saran. Give me Curtis. And give me the buttons up. Okay. Here we go. Trade or free agency? Name a memorable Chiefs acquisition.
Petro.
Just because it never happens, Curtis.
Joe Montana.
I had to give him the tiebreaker.
That's all right.
He'd never been that close before, ever.
By the way, are you in a like? What is going on your phone,
you, Ty?
What's that?
What's going on with your phone?
Should be all good.
Is your radio up?
We're getting a lot of feedback.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. There we go. All right, that's better.
Okay.
Okay.
You're good.
Here we go. All right, so is that number one?
Joe Montana is the number one answer.
Okay. Did you hear the question, Ty?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you and I got to be thinking of a way to steal.
Well,
so.
You guys, Jockey K, you guys, you sure you don't want to?
We'll take it.
No, I think we'd rather
you
go
play?
Rock and roll with it.
All right, there are six answers. That means there are five remaining. Jockey, trade, or free agency? Name a memorable Chiefs acquisition. Joe Montana, number one answer off the board.
Alex Smith.
Is the number five answer. Curtis?
I will say, just because reasons, he buys Jawan Taylor.
Did not make
memorable.
The cut.
Not necessarily fun.
Jockey, got one strike, two correct answers, four answers remaining.
Sammy Watkins.
It's a hell of an answer, but it didn't make it on there.
I'm going to say Trent Green.
They did like that one. That is the sixth answer. So you've got answers 2, 3, and 4 remaining and 2 strikes. Jockey, it's all on you.
Tyrann Mathieu.
Is the number two answer. Nice job.
Really? Yeah. Is that all of them?
No, 3 and 4 remain. Okay. Curtis?
Damn. I will go with, crap, I can't think of anybody right now.
That's pathetic. Or
Orlando Brown. Yeah, I'm blanking. That's good.
That is a third strike. Yeah. Saran and Ty. Wow.
Okay.
You've got a chance here to steal.
Ty.
Answers 3 and 4 remain.
Yeah, what do you got, buddy?
I got, how about Marcus Allen?
Yeah, I've got, don't ask me why, Chester McLaughlin. Was the first name I wrote down. Marcus Allen, Priest Holmes, Willie Rofe, and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes, they traded up for the pick. Can I get a clarification with that? Trading up for the pick and then using it on Mahomes, would that count as a trade?
No draft picks were in any way, shape, or form.
Even trading for that?
Yeah. Okay. Right. If their name was called by the Chiefs in the draft, they do not count.
Okay, so I'm going to take Mahomes out of there. Then I think Marcus Allen, Priest Holmes, Willie Rofe. I tend to lean towards Marcus Allen 1 since Montana was there. Priest Holmes maybe 2, Willie Rofe 3 in that order. What do you think?
I'm thinking the same thing as you.
All right. So Marcus Allen?
Sure.
We'll go Marcus Allen.
Oh!
What?
Dude, I was so resigned to defeat there.
67 points going to Jockey and K-Dog. Oh.
How is Montana 1 and Allen was
initial? Well, they must have liked the quarterbacks. They also went recent. How about Frank Clark? I guess he was just since he was part of that.
How about turn in your Chiefs card?
You did have 1. Willie Rofe was 4.
Good Lord. Wow. No Priest Holmes?
No Priest Holmes.
Does
no
anybody
Marcus
play
Allen?
Fantasy football in this town?
Marcus Allen is the one that stuns me because of Montana. The minute you said Marcus Allen, I was like, how did I get Montana but not Allen?
I'm
beside myself.
I'm going to invoke my inner Gary Pinkel and say we won that one.
We're 9-3.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
go, Ty.
Ty, can we test your buzzer real quick?
Yes, Ty.
Jockey, can we test yours?
Jockey.
Sounds good to me. All right. Give me Ty, give me Jockey. 6 answers on the board. All local schools. Name attorney loss that still haunts you.
Jockey.
Jockey.
Missouri, Norfolk State.
That is the number 3 answer, Norfolk State beating Mizzou. Ty, can you one-up him?
Local, boy, I'm a Hawkeye fan, so I can't. He said local. How about Kansas getting beat by Northern Iowa?
Is the number 1
there you
answer
go.
On
well
done. The board.
There you go.
We're going to play. We're going to play, right, Ty?
Sure, I guess I'll play.
Read the question again so I can hear the exact part.
Local schools only.
Right.
Name attorney loss that still haunts you.
It's attorney loss of any kind.
Yeah.
MU-UCLA, coast to coast, Tyus Edney.
Is the number 5 answer out of 6?
Let's see. You got to go the MU at Colorado game with the extra fifth down.
No, it's just NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
NCAA tournament.
Oh,
it's
tournament.
Only basketball, yeah.
Did KU get beat by Memphis?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Nope. That was a victory for the Jayhawks.
I'm gonna go KU VCU when Shaka Smart beat him for the Final Four.
Is the number 2 answer? So you got 1 strike and 2 more on the board. Answers 4 and 6. You're getting to the lower parts of the board now, Ty.
Oh gosh. Throw a dart here.
Need an answer, Ty.
I don't know. KU against Kentucky.
It was a title game, that so not a bad game. Guess, but it did not get on the
list. That's only two, right?
That's only two strikes.
All right.
Two answers remain, Siren.
I've got to take this one off the board because I don't know that I can live with it if I don't guess it. But I hear a lot of KU fans that still whine about not making free throws against my Syracuse Orange, so I'm going to say KU-Syracuse in the championship game.
It was right. I just didn't want
to. Oh, you stopped.
I didn't want to give it to you. It was right. That was the number eight answer.
Yeah, like people like you who still haven't gotten over it.
That was the number six answer. Okay. Correct. Number four answer remains, tie.
I would give you a clue, but if it's wrong, then I might just be helping them out. So just take the X.
Yeah.
We don't want to give them any thoughts, any clues if you don't have anything.
Yeah, don't be thinking out loud. Just throw something out there.
Can I say Kansas State, Elite Eight last year?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, that's my guess.
I'm going to give it to you, even though you didn't name the team. Florida Atlantic over K-State.
There you go.
It's good to be the
listener.
You gave
me the round. You gave me the year. You gave me the local team that lost. I think that should count. That is a sweep.
All right. Oh, yeah. We got them all?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, thank you.
Am I right? Am I off? Jockey? Curtis, am I off base there? I don't think that was unfair.
You're the boss of this game.
I mean,
don't ever do that if I'm doesn't benefit me, but I'll lose my crap if you do that.
He gave the year. At no point did I say you have to name the team. So
I was hoping you were going to give it to him because I thought I'd be wrong and we'd be able to win it with Bucknell. But
I thought Bucknell and Bradley, Rhode Island, Stanford, I didn't know which one it would be. I knew it would be a KU one.
Nah, K-State made it.
How about the Cats? All right. Very good.
All right. So that's 100-67, and we're back to Siren versus Curtis. Six answers on the board. Name a food item at a hotel breakfast bar.
Petro.
Ooh, Petro.
Omelet.
You got the tie that time. Eggs, omelets, number four answer.
Bacon.
Number five answer.
Oh, dude.
I was bacon behind
Siren
that.
Siren and
eggs.
Kai, you going to play?
Yeah, we got to play, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Read the question again.
Name a food item at a hotel breakfast bar.
Okay.
The answer's four and five off the board, six total. Ty, you're up.
I'll go with fruit. What?
I mean, he's right. He just doesn't know our listeners that well.
So what's off the board right now?
Fruit was a strike. Eggs/omelets, eggs in any form, to be clear, and bacon.
And bacon.
And, yeah.
Cereal.
Cereal's the number two answer. Do you want to note that I'm including cereal with oatmeal? So that is
hash browns or potatoes?
Yeah, well, breakfast potatoes, the hash browns, yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yes, but it didn't
make
it.
What's happening?
What is going on with these people?
At the hotel.
Well, if bacon's there, I suppose somebody went sausage.
Bacon.
What?
That's three strikes.
Where are these guys staying?
Where are they staying? Clearly not
muffin.
At a Holiday Inn Express.
A little muffin activity, you think? What's
what is that? Verbal responses
work
best.
Yeah, that was what I had.
He agrees. We'll say muffin.
Yeah, shut your mouth.
44 points.
The answer is Bucknell.
44 is what we deserved out of that category. What the hell do these people think is on the
starting
breakfast
from
bar?
The bottom. Number,
sushi.
Number six, biscuits and gravy.
Okay.
There you go.
Number three, bagels.
I had bagel written down.
Number one, my personal favorite, waffles.
I had waffle written down. But you like you say breakfast bar, I think of like the quick stay, like when you're on the road.
Yeah.
Not like you know, we got this huge spread. I think of the where you go downstairs and the bar is like 5 feet long.
But most of those places have your own, make your own waffle. You just pour the little batter into the
biscuits and gravy. Most of them do not have.
That's a good point. That's
ridiculous.
Fair. That's can't argue with
wow,
you there.
That's
but
right.
It was the last one. Maybe these people are a few swanky people are filling out the survey. All right. Ty versus Jockey. All right. Who would have won the 2020 men's NCAA tournament?
Jockey.
Jockey.
KU.
unsurprisingly, the Jayhawks are the number one answer out of seven.
That's the easiest number one answer in the history of this game.
I'm like, what?
Speed counts for something.
And by the way, everything from here on out is a grenade toss.
Yeah.
I don't remember who the hell was good that year.
I'll say we'll play.
You're going to play?
I'll say Baylor.
Number five answer, the Baylor Bears. They were up for a one seed. Mr. Jockey?
I'll go Houston.
Make the cut.
Like, I've got the 2020 top 25 in my head. What is this crap?
I'll say...
this category sucks unless we get it.
I'll say Kentucky.
Number four answer?
Yes, because of all the recent success.
I mean, but at that point, they hadn't even been bounced by St. Peter's yet.
Shut up.
Jockey, one strike, three answers off the board. Answers 2, 3, 6, and 7 remain.
Let's go.
Let's go.
We'll go UNC.
There you go.
I didn't know they wouldn't have made it that year, I don't think.
Do you stop acting like we all sit around here knowing what the seeds were in 2020?
Okay.
No one knows more about the 2020 field than a Kansas fan. Because they've already mapped out how they would have won every game by 14 points.
I just know that they would have missed that because there would have been two tournaments that Roy would have missed in his time at UNC.
Ball don't lie. Karma smiled on you. They gave you a championship in 22 that you weren't even close to being the best.
At what point am I complaining? I know what happened in 2020.
Stop whining.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Duke.
Number three answer.
My number three answer, too.
Just one strike still. Yeah. Jockey?
2020. Villanova.
I have a fun answer.
Is the number six answer?
I wonder if anybody out there remembers the tragedy that was what would have been the first one seed ever for Dayton.
Is the number seven answer.
Wow.
The Dayton.
I remember OB Toppin. I was like, they're going to be a one
seed. OB Toppin.
No,
it
tournament.
Would have been, I think, the third overall seed. You got one left, one strike, one left to sweep the category of this god-awful category that Seren's poopy pants about.
I'm blank here, man. Let's go Purdue.
Did not make it. That's two strikes and a chance to sweep for Curtis.
I think
stupid remote. I swear to God.
I think they graduated right everyone. TV.
Are you still up or is it us?
Yeah.
I'm growing a beard.
Two strikes, chance to sweep.
North Carolina four-corner offense.
We just keep getting correct answers. It's just, it takes a while
after
to crank out all
the
those
old
correct 45 answers.
Second clock, you're letting them go at 44.
You're not shutting up. Shutting up is making the time.
Stop. You're babbling in between those isn't helping either.
You two done. I have to turn this car around.
How about an answer?
I'll pull this car over.
We want an answer.
Virginia.
Strike.
I figured they
three.
Lost everyone off that team. Right. They were defending champions.
Tie, Seren, chance to steal.
The only thing I think was Gonzaga answer.
A steal would win. The answer
is.
That
was what I was going to say, Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's literally all I have written down.
You want me to list the answers?
Yeah,
so
that'd be great if you would. Or you could just tell me whether or not Gonzaga's there.
Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, Baylor, Villanova, Dayton, Purdue, Virginia, and Jockey, what was your other strike?
Houston.
I just thought of.
Any good? I would say Gonzaga.
Gonzaga or Arizona is all that comes to mind, but Gonzaga seems to always be there. They were probably pretty good, don't you think?
Go with the Zags.
We'll go with the Zags.
Shocking. People would have thought a one seed would have won. Incredible. That is a sweep and a victory.
There it is.
For Ty and Seren.
There it is. It was never in doubt. 244-67. Ty,
oh, well.
I'm impressed. I'm going to put you on hold. You're getting yourself a Henhouse gift card, and you're going to do some shopping. Go back to that meat counter and get you some USDA Choice Certified Hereford Beef on us, my friend.
Outstanding. Appreciate it. Good times.
Thank you, Ty. Ty is a winner. What do you think, Jackie? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you score yourself?
I give myself about a 6 or 7.
Wow. Grading on a curve.
8.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me an 8?
Yeah, give me an 8.
I'll take it.
You were better than I was, which is easy, but even on my best day. So, nice work.
Well, let's be honest. You never stood a chance.
Probably not. You know why? Because I'm on my team.
Just like I never stood a chance of actually getting the Frozen thing off the TV. That was never going to happen. Let's take a break. 913-810-810, the phone number. Come back. We're going to hear a little, Michael Dana and maybe some Matt Quatrero. If you're lucky, only if you behave. So sit down and be quiet. We're right back here in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. Born on this date, two-time All-Star first baseman Bob Watson. What milestone did he achieve? 1975. He was the scorer of the 1,000,000th run in Major League history. That was the situation where it was interesting because the day it happened, everyone around baseball knew they were getting close. So they were getting live updates at the ballpark, so how close they were to the 1,000,000th run. So Watson's on second base, another runner on first. Astros are playing at Candlestick in San Francisco. Milt May hits a home run. He knows the next run that's scored in baseball is 1 million. And it's a home run. He runs full speed around the bases to score the 1 millionth run exactly 4 seconds before Dave Concepcion of the Reds, who also homered and was trying to get around the bases as fast as possible. Watson got there 4 seconds ahead. He won $10,000 and $1 million, or a million Tootsie Rolls, which was the sponsor of the event.
Which is like $500 million in value,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think so.
Absolutely. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, we were playing for. You can get Joe's tonight. Order it at joeskc.com. Of course, the Z-Man, my favorite, the Rocket Pig Sandwich. It is absolutely the best little spicy kick, along with their wonderful sweet barbecue taste, barbecue flavor,
mm-hmm.
Pulled pork, bacon, the fried jalapenos, absolutely fantastic. Get it today. Maybe a short end, the best fries in town. They're Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Get you some tonight, joeskc.com. Remember, you can send it anywhere in the country. If you've got clients anywhere around, you know, the Kansas, Missouri area, if you travel anywhere inside Kansas City or anywhere in the country, so make them happy. Send your clients Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, joeskc.com. Let's hear from where are we going to begin?
I'm going to start with Michael Dana.
Yes, Michael Dana, meeting with the media, his return. You know, at the end of the year, the Chiefs were losing their entire defensive line, right?
Yep.
Now the entire defensive line is back.
Seemingly.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I like Michael Dana, the player.
Yeah, same.
I think Michael Dana is a very good player. But do you realize that this is the first draft pick from Brett Veach to sign a multi-year deal?
That I think that would surprise a lot of people, but that is that's amazing. I did not know that.
I think it's
certainly of note.
Yeah, I think it's wild.
It's incredible.
Right now,
yes.
Part of it is do the math. You know, he took over the draft in 18,
mm-hmm.
so there's only been three draft classes that would have been eligible.
And speaks, let's be honest, first came just short.
Yeah. But, so the 18 class, Derek Nottie is, if you're like, what about Derek Nottie? He keeps signing one-year deals. Derek Nottie was in the 18 class. He's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And the 19 class, Mecole Hardman's here, but he left and came back. Nick Allegretti was here until this year. He signed only a one-year deal to be back last year, signed a multi-year deal to go someplace else. And in the 2020 class, Clyde Edwards-Helaire signed a one-year deal. Willie Gay signed elsewhere. Lucas Niang had a COVID year, so he hasn't come up yet. Legarius Sneed signed elsewhere. And Tharcarius Keyes.
Bo Peet.
left. So Michael Dana signing back. So I think you need to take away that largely the NFL is played by guys on first contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the key takeaway. It's one of the things I take away.
That seems to be the trend. And with good reason, because that's, I mean, a lot of guys who I think that was born out of the fact that a lot of people who got contracts sometimes didn't work out. And football, like any sport, is a copycat league. And so once things start blowing up, teams start adjusting. And when they find the new trend, teams follow.
Yeah.
So anyway, Michael Dana did meet the media earlier today and was asked by Adam, I almost said Adam Schefter, Adam Teicher, why he chose to stay in Kansas City.
You know, I kind of prioritize, you know, winning, you know, the family I built here, my brotherhood, and, you know, just like being here, it's just like, I look forward to going to work every day, man. So it's just like, when you got that feeling, you don't really want to let it go. You know, there's always elsewhere, but, you know, I had a lot of stuff invested here, a lot of work, a lot of grind, a lot of sweat and tears. And, you know, why not go for a three-peat? You know, why not? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of this journey, you know? So I prioritize winning, man. You know, this is there's no organization right now that's like this. And that was my biggest thing, prioritize winning and my brotherhood I built here. And, you know, it feels so good to be back.
He said organization like four times today, and I was
he went to one of the Michigan schools.
And so I think Central Michigan first, and then Michigan. Something like that.
I don't remember. It was one of the MAC Michigans
organization.
Yeah. Do you buy that, or do you think he's
8 million years?
You know, there's some people saying this offer's been out there for a while, and he just finally took it. Took it before it went to somebody else, before money went elsewhere. Do you buy that he chose Kansas City, or that he's surprised he didn't get a bigger offer elsewhere?
I would tend to believe the first, but I would not doubt if the second came to be true. I wouldn't.
So if he wanted to be back here, and it took this long for him to sign, it took this long for the Chiefs to offer.
That would have to be what the corollary that would follow. Yes, if one is right, that would be this.
I'm not buying
timeline.
That.
And
I'm
it was like that. It was the first weekend of the tournament that they traded Snead, right? So they had this money, had the Snead cap room for a couple of weeks now.
I suppose if you want to, you'd be like, hey, sit tight. Are you good with this number? Yes, I'm good with this number. Okay, we just got to clear out Snead, and then once we do, we'll get it done. But it did take.
It's still been. That was Friday night of the first round of the tournament, yeah. So it's been weeks.
So, look, it doesn't matter how he got here, he's here. Do the Chiefs value him? Yes. How much? $13 million guaranteed, $24 million over three. Does he want to raise? Yes. How much? Whatever he can get.
You're right.
Which, yes. What can he get? $13 million guaranteed,
yeah.
$24 over three. Right? So, but to me, the bigger indicator here is, again, they didn't give him a ton of money, and the Chiefs didn't race right in and sign him right away. But they did re-sign him. So where does Felix Onyedike Uzomah get on the field? George Karloftis?
It better be this year to some extent, but you do have to wonder about how the Chiefs, as much as they kind of minimized the fact that he didn't get on the field a year ago as a rookie. It was a numbers game. I think going into this year, this second year, if you thought you had something there, I don't know that you make that signing. I don't think you put the money in Dana if you think FAU is going to be something. So I think he'll get some chances, but he's not going to start. That doesn't appear.
I think most people have the Chiefs taking a wide receiver. After that, they would say offensive tackle. Do not be shocked if it's a defensive lineman. Because they brought everybody back, and they paid Chris Jones a lot. Mm-hmm. And so now you're paying Chris Jones a lot and giving Michael Dana a raise? Well, they love their D-line. They think it's great. They walked on Snead because they think the D-line's the part. Okay, I think there's some truth in that. Yeah, that they feel like they can get pressure, and they've got good depth in the D-backfield. But, you know, we're going into year three with a couple of those guys to where they're like a year away from either needing to be extended or paid. And I think when you pay Chris Jones that much more money, not more this year, but and maybe that's the part of the formula, he drops in cap hit this year. He'll go up from where he was this past year to next year, and he'll go way up from that. And so if you're like, well, they can afford to do it because he's going to go up and then they'll walk. The fact that there isn't B.J. Thompson ready to rock, like they've drafted B.J. Thompson and he's not ready to go. Who was the Florida State guy they kept around for 4 years?
Joshua Kando.
But I'll give credit. I do think Michael Dana is a good player. He had 5.5 of his sacks, or at least 4.5 of them, but 5.5 of them, I think, either while Aminu was out or when he first got back and was maybe knocking some rust off. So when he gets more snaps, when they played him inside a lot once, and they move him up and down, I think that's one of the things that they like about him and all of their guys is that they can try to mix and match him. So listen, I'm by no means negative on Dana. And $8 million a year is a responsible number for a good defensive lineman. But he can't be one sack over half the year.
No.
If you're going to pay him that, then he's got to deliver something. And that, to me, says Felix Onyedike Uzomah is not going to play. Or they're going full-on NASCAR package.
Yeah.
And they're going to play three DNs and Chris Jones. But that means then a couple of DNs are playing inside on passing downs because they like to get Chris Jones on the outside sometimes.
Yeah, and who plays inside? I don't know who that inside guy is in that situation among those four.
They walked on Mike Pinnell in 2019, and in this offseason, with him 4 years older, they decided we can't let him walk.
Yeah.
It is. It's interesting. I like all those players. The defensive line was very good. I like all the players. Derek Nnadi, I don't get. That to me seems almost like draft pick justification. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. Andy Reid clearly values him. He made a point to stick up for him at one of the press conferences this year and says, and you got Nnadi, who no one ever gives any credit to. When I see him not on roller skates, then I'll feel free to lob some his way. But
what was the contract again, Dana?
3 for 24 with $13 million guaranteed. Let me see. They might have the year-by-year breakout now. Let me look.
How much guaranteed? 13?
13 guaranteed.
So it was only a 2-year deal, but Jadeveon Clowney got 12 guaranteed.
For
2 years.
Two years, how much?
2 years, $20 million, 12 guaranteed. Dana do better than him over the next 2 years?
One of the things, I was always big on the 1-year deal for Clowney, if you manage your cap right. But when he started bitching about everything being set up for Myles Garrett to get sacks, I don't know that you need that. Where did he go? Carolina?
Yeah, that's a good point. Carolina. Is Clowney going to be, because Dana was among the rest of the team going nuts when Chris Jones got his sack for his bonus against the Chargers. You prefer a guy you know is going to be like that in the locker room and gives, production matters above all, but it's clear Dana's a good teammate too.
But they traded for Neil Farrell and they drafted Felix Onyedike Uzomah. I mean, one of the draft picks you won't have this year is Neil Farrell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he never saw the field.
So I was like, okay. He did. He started playing a little bit at the end. He played a little bit in the playoffs.
Anyone out there remember his name being called? He was there, but sometimes that position doesn't get glory. But sometimes I'd look at the workout. The re-signing, he played eight, man.
Well, first of all, the fact that they traded for him last year and he didn't play at all, basically, for almost the entire year does not bode well for him. But the re-signing of Mike Pinnell does not bode well for Farrell. And the re-signing of Dana means you don't think you've got a star in Onyedike Uzomah. It's not just, well, he was behind. I think for sure that's part of the issue.
Well, you mentioned some of the names of the veterans, the free agents who have re-signed. You had Drew Tranquil to that list. And Mike Dana was asked if he's talked to the other free agent defensive players who chose to stay in KC.
Yeah, we had a few conversations. As soon as I saw that they brought majority of the guys back, I put a smile on my face. And I knew it was probably just a matter of time, So it's great to see, they bring everybody back. And, it's going to be interesting to see the next couple months, the season, and if we can do it again, I'm excited.
He was waiting on them to sign others before he was convinced this is the spot.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that's what he was saying there or not, but
He's just being politically correct.
Being as far as the 2024 defense, Dana thinks they'll be even better next year than they were last year.
Oh, man. This defense, last year we were relentless, but like this year I imagine it being 10 times more. You know, there's dudes, you know, hungrier now than they were last year. I know myself, I still feel like I got a chip on my shoulder. I still feel like I got something to prove out there, you know? So like, there's no settling down on this end, on our side of the ball. You know, we got something to prove. We got something to, you know, display every time we go against somebody. And, you know, I can't wait to get back with them.
Well, we'll see who they draft and if they make some late signings to add to the team. But gone Mike Edwards. Don't know when Six is going to be back.
Cook.
Brian thank Cook. You. Brian Cook. Don't know when he's going to be back. No Legarius Sneed. I don't know. I mean, better?
Yeah.
We thought they were going to lose a lot on defense, and we expected the offense to get a lot better.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we're seeing here. Uh-oh. The Rashee Rice thing means we got to reload this defense. We were planning on being hell on wheels on offense, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Maybe it's as simple as that. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your Kansas City Royals are 7-4. Let's hear a little bit about the Royals. Mm-hmm. Break them up, kids.
Yes.
They're winning even when they're not at their best.
Cole Reagans last night, 10 hits, 3 runs over 5, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Matt Quatraro last night asked about Cole Reagans giving up just those 3 runs in a night when he didn't have his best stuff.
Yeah, I think he had his best stuff. You know, that's a good lineup. They made him work. They laid off a lot. From my perspective, I didn't see the replays or anything, but a lot of pitches right off the plate, really tough pitches. And, you know, if we turn that double play in the first or he's able to get Alvarez out one of those times with 2 strikes, he's coming out of there with 1, maybe no runs, you know. And so credit to him, really. And then it got stronger in the 5th, and that was a big inning, being able to put up a 0 in the 5th.
You don't usually get 5 scoreless innings of relief from 4 different guys. How big was that performance today?
Oh, well, without it, we're not sitting here talking about a win, you know. And the efficiency of it was impressive as well. The, you know, Schreiber, I think, threw 8 or 9. MacArthur was 22 or 23 in 2 innings. You know, Anderson's inning, I think, was in the low teens. So really, really efficient, which is good for us as we embark on a long stretch.
Yep. Couldn't have gone any – I mean, really couldn't have gone any better, because
no,
as happy as you are that he got through 5, you still got to get at least 4 more, and you're locked in a tie game. And he had to go to a lot of guys to do it. And the more pitches you use, the more chances you are that one guy's going to blow up, and none of them did.
I want to harken back to something you alluded to, though. I even said this to Dylan, who was standing here when that played. I said, if that was Reagan's best stuff, if that was Reagan's best stuff, then we're screwed as Royals fans. And then Dylan said, if that was his best stuff, what the hell did we see in the first 3 starts?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Listen, you beat the White Sox. You're happy when you sweep. A 4-game sweep is tough to do, but it's the White Sox. But you beat the Astros. I mean, confidence goes way up.
Yes, absolutely. Matt Quatraro was asked, comparing last year to this year, if his team has more of an expectation to win than they did a year ago.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've talked about that quite a bit. I mean, those guys have, especially the new guys have come in and said, you know, last year's completely irrelevant. We're here to win. This is our team now, and, you know, we're all part of this together.
How do you think that shows up in a game like this? Is it as simple as...
Well, it comes down to pitching. I mean, the pitching keeps us in the game, right? I mean, Cole kept a really good lineup to 3 runs, and then they didn't score again. So it gives us a chance to win. I mean, if you're clawing back and unable to keep them down, it makes it really tough.
Yep. I don't know what else to say to that. Plus, I know we're up against the clock. So at first, I didn't think he understood why his follow-up.
I did know why you were doing
pitching,
that.
And I was like, But yeah, I think we said last year that this year we would get a better chance. There was almost no way to get any kind of read on what Matt Quatraro would do with
the
good Royals.
There was zero.
Because there was nothing. They were 40 games under 500, 70 games into the season. So what do you do at that point? But now we're starting to see it. And he hasn't really made many moves that have blown up. It's 11 games in, but The team seems to be playing with a different attitude. You mentioned the new players coming in. I'm sure that the Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo and the guys who have come into this clubhouse have that alone changes the idea of what your team can do, and so you shift the focus. But the players who were here a year ago, the young players, they seem to have altered that as well. So that's a clubhouse that really feels pretty good about themselves right now.
Well, I think when you beat a team that's been in seven consecutive ALCSs?
I think seven.
The Houston Astros, if they can find a way, now they still got to get another win to win this series, the confidence goes even higher.
Yep.
But listen, Denny Matthews said it for a long time. You know,
hi, everybody.
Ryan has the totals. Yes.
And gone.
Yes. All those things he has said. But talking about, like, momentum is only as good as your next night starting pitcher.
Yep.
They have momentum now because they expect to get a good
huge
professional start. I don't want to say quality start because that's an actual stat. But really, I mean, they do kind of expect a quality start. Six innings, three runs or less, they're expecting that. And so,
and they have a nice night last night. Tonight they go back out, Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
They got the next guy's good. The next guy's good. The next guy's good. On down the line.
Yeah, that's what playoff teams look like. So I'm not saying they're going to be that yet. But they're looking like it through 11, that's for sure. I appreciate it, Kate.
All right, Tristan Newton was the Final Four MOP with 32 points in two games. Who was the last MOP to have fewer points? Brought to you by Good Sense.